One, two, three, four.
Welcome to Song Salad with Shannon and Scott.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
I'm a professional writer and your resident lyricist.
And I'm a professional musician and your resident composer.
And together, we toss up a new song each week.
Using a random music genre.
And a random topic.
That's right. Using our proprietary, patented, parched, industrial strength salad spinner, we randomize over 500 music genres.
And we hit the random article button on Wikipedia to get our topic.
Yep. Tell our listeners what we did last week, Shannon.
Last week, we wrote a J-ska or Japanese ska song.
Or just ska.
Just ska, as the kids know it, about a movie called Hellraiser with special guest Maggie Carr from Harridan Productions.
Yes.
And it was terrifying and lovely.
It was spooktacular.
It was spooktacular, also as the kids say. Also wanted to mention, if you notice any difference in how we sound this week, we are recording remotely, so it might be a little bit different than usual, but still here, still bringing you a song.
Yes. Hello from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. Cue the West Wing theme song.
Scott just has a little mini boombox and just plays the West Wing theme song. So everywhere he goes, it's just
A bike ride to the Capitol yesterday and like was looking at the Washington Monument and just like singing it to myself.
And then he got chased off the mall and someone tased him. Yeah.
Right.
Just skulking around the Capitol.
That's a beautiful place to be. I like it here.
Do you want to say what you're doing there?
Yeah. If anyone is in the D.C. area, I am co-orchestrating the musical Blackbeard about pirates here at Signature Theater, and it's going to be running from mid-June to mid-July, so check that out.
Yeah.
It's a swashbuckling good time.
That's what your wedding invitation said. Yes. It's a swashbuckling good time.
And then everyone showed up dressed as pirates, and they were really disappointed when there was no theme.
And everyone else was really mad because the guests were dressed as pirates.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, let's see what's in store for us this week as we fire up the salad spinner to generate our genre and topic.
Let's do it.
And today's our salad bowl episode.
It is.
So we will generate a random music genre, but get a topic from our collection of salad bowl suggestions from our loyal Patreon donors.
Yes, if you donate $10 and up per month on Patreon, you get to suggest a topic and genre every month, and it goes on our special list. The list is getting longer and longer every month, so it's definitely more fun to randomize and see the really weird things that come up from months and months ago.
Yeah. All right. So this week we are writing a song in the style of Cabaret Noir. About tequila.
Just tequila.
Thank you, Chip.
Thanks, Chip.
Okay.
Okay.
What do you know about Cabaret Noir, Shannon?
Nothing more than I usually know about the genres, which is nothing. I mean, I know what cabaret songs are. And,
yes.
You know, standalone songs sung in like a kind of nightclub or like burlesque sort of style.
Right.
Usually like they're not necessarily like in a narrative production of anything.
Yeah.
And noir is French for the word black or dark. And so I'm going to like guess that like most things with the word noir appended to them, they have a kind of like darker, grittier, more melancholy or just like pessimistic view.
Sure. And I think the cabaret aspect of it is going to be fun because that implies that the song will have like a little story of its own.
Right.
And we can do it in like a sort of live performance style of just having like piano and drums accompaniment or something like that. Probably. So
I guess we'll see.
I guess we'll see. And then write it about tequila.
Yeah. I think that's perfect. I know.
What do you know about tequila?
I know a lot about tequila.
You're intimately familiar?
I am. I mean, I really like tequila. It is one of my preferred spirits, I would say.
In what type of drink?
Really almost anything. I like margaritas, but I also like tequila just like as a mixer in like other cocktails, especially like
you like tequila as a mixer?
No, I mean
yeah, can I have a gin and tonic, but instead of the tonic, can you use tequila, please?
Can you just use bubbly tequila? That would be great. No, I mean like as like a ingredient in a mixed drink. because I think it goes really well with like spicy and smoky cocktails, and I really like spicy and smoky cocktails. Mezcal, which is sort of like a cousin of tequila, I also really enjoy.
It's tequila's hotter, more interesting cousin.
Yeah, yes. It's the cousin that doesn't always come to the family reunion, right. But then when they do, you're like, wow, they had a glow up. Oh my God. Right.
They're doing really well in LA.
Yeah. Yeah, they've been booking some work, I've actually heard. But I also know that tequila is made from the agave plant.
Yep.
And that's, I don't know what else. What do you know about tequila?
I mean, the major thing for tequila with me is that I don't love it unless it's like good quality.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Because you can have like, you know, gold tequila that's in a plastic bottle that will make you want to barf the minute you taste it. But then you can have like really good like silver tequila that's smooth and delicious, you know? So
yeah,
it's not one of my go-tos, but if I know I'm at a place where they're going to have like good tequila, then I'm into it.
All right.
Yeah.
I have probably done my fair share of tequila shots with you. Yes?
Probably yes.
Probably yes.
Probably yes. And rightly so, we probably can't remember any specific instances.
Yeah, exactly. Hey guys, content warning. We're going to be talking a lot about alcohol this episode. So.
And cabarets. In case that's a thing for you.
In case that like triggers any traumatic feelings about cabaret performances. I mean, who knows? Who knows?
Let's do some research.
Yeah, let's go.
All right, I'm going to stop logic. This is fun.
It is very fun. And varied.
Yeah. And a little bit more in the like mainstream recorded music world than I expected.
Some of it, for sure. Yeah. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. I expected most of this to just be like live performances and like someone capturing live performances, but it's not.
Yeah, more underground, like actual burlesque show kind of stuff.
Right.
But no, these are bands that were influenced by cabaret and burlesque and vaudeville. But we're playing in a more like goth and punk style from the 1970s and beyond. So Cabaret Noir is also known as dark cabaret, if you want to translate it. And like I said, it's also connected to punk rock, gothic rock, dark wave, and steampunk.
Yeah, and you talked a little bit about the origins of this in like vaudeville or more traditional cabaret, specifically like the Weimar era in Germany. So we've talked before on this podcast about Bertolt Brecht and Kurt Weill, probably when we did our vaudeville episode, I would imagine.
Was that Haven't Got the Zest?
It was indeed, in which we played an older married British couple arguing about like going for a walk or something.
That was a fun one.
Great. I feel like we've definitely talked about Three Penny Opera before. Mm-hmm. And songs, standalone story songs like Mac the Knife.
Right.
And And those, you know, came out of an era where a lot of art was reacting to the political times, but in a way that was extremely subversive. Was like trying to be like dark and seedy and underground. So that's like the kind of like bedrock of this genre too.
Well, I think we should play a little bit of Mack the Knife then.
Oh, sure.
In case people aren't familiar. But basically what made this song stand out is that it's about a murderous anti-hero. And that kind of subject wasn't really popular in music until that time. Right. So that's the sort of dark noir aspect of it. So here's a little bit of Mack the Knife from Three Penny Opera by Berthold Brecht and Kurt Weill.
Oh, the shark babe has such teeth, dear, and it shows them pearly white. Just a jackknife has old Maggie Heath, babe, and it keeps it out of sight. You know when that shark bites with his teeth, babe.
So this whole genre and idea was expanded upon in the mid-70s, starting with an artist named Nico in 1974, who influenced more goth and punk music artists to start writing in this style. And we found an example from 1989, this group called the Tiger Lilies, where they performed in, you know, it looks like this true cabaret style with like accordion and drums and upright bass and stuff. And they're wearing like kind of mime makeup and stuff. But the singer, Martin Jacques, sings in a very high falsetto, which makes them unique.
But he's singing.
So I think we should listen to him.
Yeah, yeah. And then we'll talk about the things he sings about after, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. Here's a song called Bully Boys by the Tiger Lilies.
He's singing about, in all, not just this song, but he's known for singing about blasphemy and prostitution and bestiality. And again, topics that you wouldn't normally be musicalizing, especially not in this kind of like upbeat, simpering,
jaunty
sort
style.
Of jaunty. Yes, exactly. Exactly. So really the material is, not undermining the music or vice versa, but like there's a comment being made because of the dissonance between the topic and the style.
Right, exactly. And where it gets kind of into the whole idea of steampunk is that, you know, that steampunk as a genre in like fiction and in art and things basically is showing this root in the like early industrial age and like, you know, steam engines and gears and clocks and very like complicated machines and stuff, but also putting it in a very futuristic context.
Right.
So it's kind of fun that these bands were like, you know, as we'll hear in a second with another example, using modern instruments like distorted electric guitar, but also dressing in these period costumes and using accordions and toy pianos and things. So I think it's a cool style.
It is. The aesthetic reminds me a bit of some more mainstream bands like the Decemberists. It's this kind of like romanticization and like lyricism about this bygone era, and like it's, you know, the all of the Decemberist songs are about these kind of like twee sweet pastoral kind of scenarios. But they're actually really messed up and dark if you listen to what's being said.
Or even another mainstream example would be like Panic at the Disco.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Where they're like, you know, acting as if they're in an 18th century circus, but doing punk rock.
Right. You know? Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
So let's move into that more punk side of it and listen to another example. Well, first, let's talk about the Dresden Dolls, I guess, yeah?
Yeah, sure. I love them.
So Dresden Dolls, one of their more popular songs is called Coin Operated Boy, which you probably will recognize, but let's hear a little bit of it.
Coin Operated Boy, sitting on the shelf. He is just a toy, but I turn him on. And he comes to life, automatic joy. That is why I want a coin operated boy. Made of plastic and elastic, he is rugged and long lasting. Who could ever, ever ask for more? Love without complications galore. Coin operated boy, all the other real ones that I destroy cannot hold a candle to my new boy, and I'll never let him go, and I'll never be alone, go, and I'll never be alone, go, and I'll never be alone, go, and I'll never be alone.
One of the things I think that's coolest about that, and it's also just like such an interesting it's a testament to Amanda Palmer's musical ability also, is how she replicates the speeding up and slowing down of like a machine in,
right, like a wind up doll,
right, exactly. In how she plays, and like Scott was just saying, that kind of steampunky idea of like having a boy who is like a little robot powered by gears and steam, and like,
right,
so making a little machine, but it's for love purposes, it's not, yes, for, you know, optimization at the factory. It's
no,
it's this like, yeah, high tech, low tech kind of combination.
Right. Let's do one more example.
Okay.
Let's listen to Push Button by Stolen Babies.
Ooh,
and
geez,
this is probably the most punk example that we have. So this is going to kind of show the range in which we could work with for our song, like all the way from the more simple Tiger Lily's kind of ensemble all the way up to this like hard-hitting punk rock sound from Stolen Babies. So check this out.
Boy, that sounds like the early 2000s, doesn't it?
They sound similar to the band Garbage. Do you know the band Garbage?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, but I, you know, any of these bands that have like a punk rock influence and like a belty, sultry female lead, you know?
Yeah.
Brings me back to that era.
Dressed like a pirate wench.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong.
Yeah.
And speaking of pirate wenches, I was saying to Shannon when we were starting to research this, you know, this whole steampunk kind of genre is what influenced our orchestrations for Blackbeard here at Signature Theater. So if you like this music, come hear it in a musical.
Wow, go figure. We didn't even plan that.
No. Good advertisement.
One other little thing I just wanna read. Dark Cabaret is kind of often associated with something called neo-burlesque starting in the 1990s. And neo-burlesque is just a way to refer to like the new burlesque scene, which, if you don't know what like burlesque is, it's dance and musical and otherwise performances on like smaller stages. And they tend to be like a little more experimental or risque. But so neo-burlesque and dark cabaret have kind of become linked. And I just wanted to mention that they become linked because a lot of performances or performers do both, like the Chicago Burlesque Orchestra Apartment, which ran from 1997 to 2005, and the emergence of something called Gothic Belly Dance.
What?
Yep. Which also has Gothic Fusion Belly Dance, Dark Fusion Belly Dance, and Gothic Tribal Fusion. And
it's a whole lot right there.
Yeah, I know. And that's a dance movement distilled from influences of the Middle Eastern dance, tribal fusion, goth subculture, and neo-paganism. So
neo-paganism.
Just putting that visual in Ian's heads.
I love it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess we should find out how we're going to connect this to tequila.
Tequila! Da 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 da.
Mm-hmm. Not very dark, that song.
It could be, though.
Well, I guess it could be.
Like, you could, if you just made the da 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 into minor, wouldn't that sound horrifying?
Yes.
Anyway. Yeah, we need to learn more about tequila.
Let's drink.
Okay.
Tequila.
I just want tequila. There to be like that little sting every time we say it.
You want me to add it in and post?
Yeah.
Whenever we say the word tequila,
it'll get I'll put so it annoying.
It's gonna be great.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's learn about this drink.
I learned some things.
So like we said, we're recording remotely, so I can just mm-hmm. hear Scott and not see him and vice versa. And the whole time we were both just going, oh,
hmm. Oh, that's interesting.
Huh.
Hmm.
Huh. Oh. Yeah, there's a lot of information here, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing with these seemingly simple topics, you know, like topics that everyone's heard of. There's going to be a lot of information on Wikipedia and probably more than we need for whatever song we're going to produce.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's some fun facts that we can pull out.
Yeah. So let's hit the highlights. Tequila, obviously, a distilled alcoholic beverage. It's made from the blue agave plant, and mm-hmm. it's made only in certain places in Mexico. It's, you know, it's kind of like champagne in France. Right. Like, you can only call something tequila if it comes from a certain place. That would be the area surrounding the city of Tequila, which makes sense. Which is located in Guadalajara and the Jaliscan Highlands. So that's the mm-hmm. Mexican state of Jalisco.
Yes. And what I did not know is that tequila is a type of mezcal, not the other way around.
Yeah, I thought
and
the other way
around. And
regions
of production of the two drinks are overlapping.
Mm-hmm.
So the distinction is that tequila must use only blue agave plants rather than any type of agave. And I guess mezcal can be made with any type of agave.
Let's talk about these agaves, huh?
Tell me about agave.
Yeah. So I want to talk about these spiky boys. They, they're, okay. Have you ever seen an agave plant in person?
No,
they're
not.
Enormous. Or they can be. Like, they can be like much bigger than a person. And
but they're like low to the ground, right?
Well, yeah, they come directly out of the ground, but like their big spiky leaves can definitely be like over your head. And
got it.
Just their like breadth of them, like how wide they can get, is also really mm-hmm. impressive. And agave, you may also be familiar with agave as like a sweetener, cuz you can also distill
yes.
its like juices and natural sugars into like a sweetener that's like similar to honey.
Mm-hmm.
But these agave plants, when you harvest them to make tequila, what you're really actually harvesting are their like middle bits. It's something called the piña or the pineapple, because when they trim all the leaves off the core of it, it yep. actually looks kind of like a little pineapple inside. But those piñas, the middle cores, can actually weigh up to 150 pounds.
Oh my God.
When they're harvested. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Like a person-sized core, like juicy, pulpy core of this plant. And the reason, I know, the reason that a lot of this tending and planting and cutting of agave plants has resisted modern machinery and is still almost all entirely done manually is because the guys who do this work, they're called quemadores, and they mm-hmm. need to know exactly like how long to cut the plant and how to grow it and like how to trim it so that it doesn't flower and then die too soon, because then mm-hmm. it won't reach its maximum size. So I just think it's really cool that all of this work is done mostly by hand, and
it's crazy. It sounds similar to the winemaking process, actually, where you have to have people that really know what they're doing and tending to the vines and, you know, replanting and growing the vines in the right way, but then also how to treat the fruit once it has been harvested and how to best go about the fermentation and aging process.
Oh, I'm sorry. The piñas in the Highlands can get up to 240 pounds.
Holy shit.
Yeah, the 150-pound ones are in the lowlands. So lowland and highland are two, like, kind of very general differences in agave plants, and they can lead to different tastes in the tequila.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So let's, while we're talking about taste, let's talk about, you know, what makes different tequilas taste different ways.
Okay.
So there are more than 300 known compounds in tequila, many of which are produced during the fermentation process. And a lot of those compounds are different types of alcohols and higher order alcohols, which I've never really heard of because I'm not a chemistry person.
Yeah.
But some of these are esters, which is a type of higher order alcohol. And there are more than 50 different types of esters that can occur in tequilas. And those are the main types of alcohols that give them different flavors and smells. So, for instance, there's one called isovaldoraldehyde.
Wow.
Which produces a sweet cocoa and chocolate-like flavor.
Mm.
There's two called 2-3-methylbutanol that produce a malty flavor. There's ones called vanillin and syringidylhydes, which produce a fruity and herbal aroma. There's one called eugenol, which delivers a spicy flavor. So I think it's super interesting that, you know, there's 300 different compounds, and like one of these alcohols could cause the whole tequila you're drinking to taste more fruity than another, you know?
Did you ever do experiments in high school chemistry with esters?
No, I didn't take chemistry.
Oh, my only exposure to like the words that you were just saying, like esters and like fruity esters, is in chemistry class in high school. They gave us like all these different little like clear vials of solution, and they were like, these are fruit esters and you have to smell them and like guess which different fruits they come from, or like which different fruits they like evoke, because in a lot of like artificial flavor production, they just use these fruit esters. It'll be like, you'll smell it and it'll like really, really smell like banana, but it didn't come from a banana or anything. It's just like an ester that smells like banana. And my like memory of this, which is kind of sad, was in high school after I broke up with my high school boyfriend, who had like cheated on me and embarrassed me in front of the entire cast of the school musical. We were still chemistry partners, and we had to do this stupid esters thing where you had to like sniff all the things and then decide which fruit they were. And so like I'm with my ex-boyfriend, and like we weren't speaking otherwise, and we were just passing vials of these little smelly things back and forth going, I think it's peaches. Do you think it's peaches? This one's strawberry. I think it's actually grape. I'm going to go with grape. Like, it was
the saddest thing I've ever heard.
It was awful. It was awful.
Oh, no. I'm sorry to have brought up that memory for you.
Yeah, the second you said esters, I was like, oh, my God.
And I'm here like, ooh, fun fact.
I know. No, it was very traumatizing, but oh well.
I'm very sorry.
Oh well. Oh well. I need to go drink some tequila now.
Yeah, seriously. Well, I guess the only other major factors that affect the flavor of the tequila are the color, and the color is often related to aging. So silver tequila, or sometimes called Blanco, is the tequila that has the least aging on it, and it is distilled, so it is obviously a clear or white color. Gold tequila, as I mentioned, is my least favorite, mm-hmm. and here's why. Apparently, it is silver tequila with the addition of grain alcohol and caramel color. So if you're getting a gold tequila, that's not the good age stuff. That's just grain alcohol in there.
Yeah, okay. So avoid gold.
If you want the actual aged tequila, you should get Reposado or Añejo, which are tequilas aged in wooden containers, usually barrels, most of the time white oak barrels. And a lot of the time, they are barrels that have been charred in the same way that whiskey barrels are charred. So it's actually popular now to experiment with aging tequila in barrels that have formerly been used in the production of things like Jack Daniels, for instance, to see how the flavor is affected.
That's interesting.
So yeah, that's how you get the different tastes in your tequila.
Hey, I know you were reading about this, but I want to hear about the tequila worm.
Oh yeah, the tequila worm. So there's this kind of folkloric thing surrounding tequila about having a worm in the bottom of the bottle.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen this? In a bottle of tequila?
Not in a bottle of tequila, no.
No, I've never seen it either. I think it's like more of the stuff of legend. So apparently, the mezcals, there are certain mezcals from Oaxaca that are sold con gusano, which means with worm. The worm is only added as a marketing gimmick. It is not traditional in any way. The Tequila Regulatory Council does not allow these worms to be placed in tequila bottles. And the worm itself is actually the larval form of a moth, which lives in the agave plants. And if you find one in the plant during processing, that indicates an infestation of these moths and subsequently a lower quality product.
Lol.
So don't go for the worm. It means you're drinking something infested and cheap.
Yeah, and also fake.
And fake.
Oh my God.
There are also sometimes scorpions.
What?
Too, in the bottle. So don't go for those either.
Ooh.
Yep, so that's the debunked tequila worm thing. You're not gonna like eat the worm and get, you know, hallucinogenic consequences or anything.
Gotcha. Okay, and shall we talk about Wikipedia's description of how to drink tequila?
Yes, we should. So there's actually a little bit of something interesting here. So the standard American way of having a tequila shot with salt and lime is distinctly American. That is not a traditional thing from Mexico at all. In Mexico, tequila is typically had just neat, so like straight up with nothing on it. Or you can have like an equal size shot of tequila next to a shot of what's called sangrita, which is a sweet, sour, and spicy drink made from orange juice, grenadine or tomato juice, and hot chili. And you alternate sips between the tequila and the sangrita, which sounds delicious.
Yeah, that does sound good.
So the process of putting salt on your hand and taking the shot and then taking a bite of a lime wedge is called tequila cruda and is sometimes referred to as training wheels.
Lol. It's very funny.
And the way Wikipedia describes this is like an alien observing humans and writing like a description for his leaders.
Yes, yes, exactly.
It says, the drinkers moisten the back of their hands below the index finger, usually by licking, and pour on the salt. Then the salt is licked off the hand, the tequila is drunk, and the fruit slice is quickly bitten. Groups of drinkers often do this simultaneously.
The social purpose is not readily apparent of this ritual. Like, what?
Nor is the nutritional value. Yeah.
Further study is needed.
Right. Observations to continue.
So, but the interesting thing is, like, why do we do this? Like, why do white people do this? And
because we can't handle the taste. I don't know why.
Well, I mean, so what Wikipedia says is the salt is believed to lessen the burn of the tequila, and the sour fruit balances and enhances the flavor. Germany and other countries, tequila oro, so that gold tequila that Scott was mentioning, is often consumed with cinnamon on a slice of orange after, while tequila blanco is consumed with salt and lime. And this is similar to mezcal. I feel like usually if you get like mezcal, it usually shots comes in mezcal. Like a little terracotta like dish, and you just kind of like sip it. But it comes with an orange dipped in like chili salt usually.
Yeah, that's delicious.
Yeah, I do love that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's traditional, but it is very tasty.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's probably enough to know about tequila, yeah?
I think so. Yeah, sure.
I know more now than I did before.
I mean, I know a lot now, yeah.
So, Cabernet Noir.
Yeah, I think that there's a good opportunity here, tapping into like the roots of this at like some kind of like political unrest kind of level, maybe talking about like the Jimadores and like the workers who like farm the tequila and who are like spending their lives like tending the plants. Like, I don't know, I can just kind of see a Dresden Dolls song that's about like the agave, the plight of the agave farmer or something, you know.
Sure. That's one way to go about it.
Yeah, I don't know. So I'm thinking about that angle possibly.
I kind of was thinking about the more like steampunk influence, kind of like almost magical, mystical angle. Like, if you think of like coin operated boy, maybe some kind of story about like, I don't know, like a Jimador who made like the world's most magical tequila or something.
Yeah. But I feel like it has to, like, he has to have bottled it to win the love of a woman or something. Like that. Yeah, yeah. Only when he became the world's most accomplished tequila maker would his lover's father allow him to marry her. And so he spends like 100 years trying to perfect tequila. And then when he like finally does it, everyone he loves is dead.
That's good and sad. That's pretty dark. It's pretty dark.
The pause before you said that's good was very telling.
Well, I was also just imagining, what if maybe it's a Jimador who makes a tequila that's so strong that it powers his flying machine?
It's just jet fuel.
He makes jet fuel.
It's literally jet fuel. Okay.
And then he flies and colonizes the moon and plants the best agave ever on the moon.
Amazing. I mean, it does like volcanic ashy soil, so.
I don't know. I'm going to let you decide what the story is going to be, because that's what you're better at than me.
Well, I think, and I mean, you, as you rightly have been saying, it should be a story. Like, it needs to be, it's narrative, because these songs are standalone songs, so you have to get a story just from one and not from a whole show.
Totally. And for the music, I'm going to start playing around with a combination of instruments that has things like accordion, but also has things like electric guitar, and see what kind of fun sounds we can get.
I wonder if you can get any references to like traditional Mexican music in there.
I could try to throw something in there, sure.
Yeah, it might be a cute little nod to our topic.
Yeah. And also feels stylistically appropriate that they would like root things in the world of wherever the story is taking place.
Yeah, I think so. Totally.
Let's go.
All right, let's go. Let's see if we can do Chip's topic justice.
Vámonos.
I have some lyrics.
What's our story going to be?
So I did kind of decide to go with the sort of workers' lament of being replaced by machinery.
Okay, cool.
But
makes sense. Industrial revolution.
Yeah. And I tried to like make it feel as like lyrical as possible.
Okay, cool.
And what I did was I did there's not necessarily like a chorus really, but there's like a kind of like bridgey part that gets you from verse to verse. And I've done two verses, then a little bridge, then a third verse, and then we can like end on the bridge or something. I don't know. You can let me know what you think works. And then the other thing that I wanted to do with the song is a lot of cabaret songs are kind of tongue in cheek or like have a sense of humor or a little bit funny or employ wordplay in some way. So yeah. I wanted to do that too. And then I also wanted the verses to feel a little more stylized. So you'll see that with the exception of the third verse, in verses one and two, I repeat the same line several times. So it's like the line pays off. You'll see what I mean. You'll see what I mean.
Sure.
But it just makes the whole thing feel a little bit more like heightened, you know?
I love that.
Yeah.
Gotta have the drama.
Yes, exactly. All right, should I just go?
Yeah, tell me.
All right, here we go. In the red volcanic highlands of Jalisco, my brother Humidores tend the plants. In the red volcanic highlands of Jalisco, for centuries we've done this age-old dance. All our lives we've cut and gathered piñas until a shiny soldier showed his face. All our lives we've cut and gathered piñas until this metal farmer took our place.
Oh.
And then the bridge is agave. The situation is grave. See tequila, so we quila or we'll all be keeled.
Wow.
Yeah. And then the, you know, I just wanted it to feel like that. Like, I feel like there's a Brechtian whale. Do you know what I kind of mean?
This, yes.
Like, vile Brecht. They just have this, like, kind of like, like, at some point in the song. And I wanted it to be agave.
Yes.
So, okay. So there's the third, then here's the third verse where I kind of mess with my structure a little bit, but you'll see why. We crept into his barn by light of moonbeam to take our vengeance on this steely friend. We doused his gears and carriage in tequila to ensure the rust would get him in the end.
Nice.
And then we can go back into the agave. The situation is grave. Yeah.
I love it. That's very good.
Thank
and
you.
Yeah, I do like that you got the element of the, you know, mechanical threat to their way of life.
Yes.
Coming in.
Yes.
And then use the tequila to thwart him, hopefully.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Thanks.
I think it'll work very well with the music I've come up with.
Oh, yeah.
I do have accordion.
Perfect.
And it does sound a little bit more tango-y than like Mexican influenced, but I think it still works. So here's what the accordion sounds like.
Cool.
And then I have sort of this like old timey saloon piano happening too.
Yes, great. Yeah.
So here's the piano. And I start with those elements to keep it sort of feeling in that older world before bringing in distorted electric guitar, bass, and punk rock drums.
Ooh.
So that's where the 1980s punk influence of the dark cabaret sound comes in. So here's, in that order, a little bit of guitar, bass, and drums.
Punky.
Punky Brewster. How should I sing this?
Yeah, so we heard the Tiger Lilies guy has that kind of like super put on high falsetto with like a very affected accent, right? Like, yeah, he was like rolling his R's very exaggeratedly.
I was gonna say I probably should roll my R's if we're going with the, you know, Spanish influence too.
I mean, as you all
the red volcanic island.
I do kind of love that. I mean, you could almost turn it into a Greedo, right?
Oh yeah, the Greedo.
Remember?
I forgot about the Greedo.
Yeah, the traditional kind of yell or cry in some Mexican folk music.
Yeah, Mexican folk and norteño music, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Hmm. I mean, you could almost do that, or you could try to make it more just the, like, I don't know, the other thing that I associate with like cabaret, like Brecht vile kind of cabaret, is this sort of like still very like proper and affected and like aloof sort of style, right? Yeah. Like, no, like singing with like no visible emotion, but putting the emotion in your voice,
and also the kind of like affected sliding between notes and sort of having a devil may care attitude about the way it sounds.
Right. Yes.
Thinking back to things like Mac the Knife. You know.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. I think to do the whole thing in a falsetto seems a little bit ridiculous to me. But I think I can add elements of the falsetto without doing the whole thing that way.
Okay. I'm curious to hear what that means, but yeah, great.
Me too.
Okay.
Should we call this agave?
Yes, like for sure.
You know what we need to do though is put the upside down exclamation point before it.
Oh, you're so right. Thank you. Yes, we do need to do that. We need to make sure that our hosting platform can accommodate that in an episode title. But yes,
I hope
yes.
So.
We need that.
So here is agave.
A cabaret noir or dark cabaret song.
About tequila. Thank you, Chip.
Thanks, Chip. By Shannon and Scott.
In the red volcanic highlands of Jalisco, my brother Himadores tend the plants. In the red volcanic highlands of Jalisco, for centuries we've done the age-old dance. All our lives we've cut and gathered piñas, until a shiny soldier showed his face. All our lives we've cut and gathered piñas, until this metal farmer took our place. The situation is grave. Sweet tequila, so we kill her, or we'll all be killed. We crept into his barn by light of moonbeam to take our vengeance on this steely friend. We doused his gears and carried it to tequila to ensure the get him in the end. Agave, the situation is grave. Sweet tequila, so we kill her, or we'll all be killed. So we kill her, or we'll all be killed.
That was fun.
Yeah, I think we should take this act on the road, you know?
I was going to say, I'm a little sad that we didn't get this genre for a live show.
I know, right? Oh, man.
Yeah, there's still time, cool. And there's other variations on cabaret
yes.
styles.
Yeah, for sure. So many different variations on cabaret. We can always come back to it. The well will never run dry.
No.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, because we could even do like a straight up Brechtian song at some point.
Yeah, you know? No, we totally could.
without the punk influence.
Yeah.
But I think this was a good combination.
I do too. It really worked out very well. I mean, when you look at like that kind of burlesque cabaret lens on basically anything, you just have to make mm-hmm. it as like twee and pretentious as possible, I think. And then right. you can kind of get there.
You could say that tequila was a good mixer this week.
But you suck.
Thanks. Yep. All right.
Yeah.
I think we have some people to thank, right?
We do. We have a new review.
I love that.
Me too. Minabee23 gives us 5 stars and says we are smart and hilarious.
Thank you.
Thank you, Minabee23.
That's so nice.
I can also see that several other people have rated us, even if they didn't yeah. leave us a review. So that's super awesome. Thank you for putting your ratings in on iTunes or on Apple Podcasts. And anywhere else that you can rate us or review us is certainly appreciated. It's just hard for us to find all of them sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we don't always get like notifications. But if you give us a rating or review, we'll thank you as best we can, just like Minabee. Thanks.
Thank you. We've also had some new activity in the produce section, which is our Facebook group. And I love seeing the posts from everyone on there. And we've gotten some really nice compliments and comments. So thank you to everyone in the Facebook group, the produce section.
Yeah, we met a lovely truck driver named Kurt who said he found yeah. us streaming over Strange Label, which we,
yes.
Internet radio station that we stream over. So hello to all you... other truck drivers out there, maybe.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, me
Our
too.
Salads being spread across the country.
Like Johnny Appleseed, but with salads.
Johnny Salad Seed.
Johnny Lettuce Leaves.
Where were we? Oh, yes, Facebook. Join it. Follow us on Twitter too.
Yeah, at Song Salad Cast. And if you want to be like Chip and have your topic or genre selected during one of our monthly Salad Bowl episodes, you can donate $10 and up on Patreon. But really, any little bit helps. We now are officially putting out transcripts, so a lot of your Patreon donations are going toward paying a lovely transcriptionist named Shreya. And so you're actively supporting making our podcast more accessible to people who need it.
Yes. How many A's do you think she's going to put in agave?
Well, she'll put however many I put because I give her the lyrics.
Oh, okay.
I was like, this is going to make your life a lot easier. I'm just going to give you the lyrics because otherwise I'm so sorry. And for everyone who knows, the past like month or so, we've kind of been recording ahead and behind, and we've been remote. And so we will be soon back to your regularly scheduled in-person recordings, and we will be more like on top of the current events that are happening in like the podcast.
Not that we
world.
Really talk about current events that much.
No, no, I just mean like people who have donated to us or left us a review.
Sure.
It's like, you know, the timeline of like when we're talking about it is all all messed up. But yeah, so thanks for your patience, and we will be back to being more responsive shortly.
Yes. And until next week,
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And this has been Song Salad. Shoot your veggies.
1, 2, 3, 4.
I meant like shoot like a tequila shot, not like shoot like a gun.
Well, I guess you could do like a wheatgrass shot in the same way you do a tequila shot.
That's true. And they did say that you sip on like the tomato, spicy tomato juice, right?
Yeah.
Sangrita.
Sangrita. Sangrita.
Neither of us can still roll our R's after three and a half years of this podcast. It's never going to happen.